Okay, there we go. Okay, good evening. My name is Glenn Bronson. I'm the hearing officer this evening. Looks like we have one matter on the agenda. It's the matter entitled 256 South Highway 89 Williamsburg Luxury Apartments, and it concerns a request for a variance. Is there anybody here tonight appearing on that matter? Would you please approach the podium and indicate who you are?
My name is Haley Pratt, and I'm here representing the applicant, Castlewood Development.
Castlewood Development.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to turn the time over to our, I don't know what your title is now. Okay. City Planner. But Ms. Bennett, to present the matter, and then I'll give you Castlewood. Is it Castlewood? The opportunity to supplement with anything you would like to address. The application is yours, so the burden is on you to support the elements of the requested variance. But I find it helpful to have the city present their background and their opinion. Ms. Bennett?
Okay, so Castlewood Development has applied for a variance for the property that is called Williamsburg Luxury Apartments at 256 South Highway 89. The variance is requesting a variance for the retaining wall height and terracing requirements set by city code. The subject property is vacant. There are a few existing buildings that will be demolished in the very near future, and so it'll have a clean slate to then construct the 246 apartment units, or a maximum of 246 apartment units, that were approved by City Council on May 18th of 2021. This property is in the planned district, or a P district, so it is meant to be used as a mixed-use type of development with multifamily and some commercial. To make the best and most productive use of the property, the developer needs to construct the retaining walls in order to work with the natural topography. The property is fairly steep, sloping west. This is an aerial on your screen of what it looks like right now, or as of September of 2021. And then this is just a picture of showing from the street view how it slopes down, and this is from the view of Highway 89. So you can see this apartment building is the same height as this one, and it's substantially further down. So as far as the city code goes, specifically city code 9-1-3, retaining walls cannot exceed 8 feet in height for a single wall. And terracing walls is permitted as long as the total height doesn't exceed 16 feet. Further, as far as terrace walls go, there has to be a minimum separation of 1.5 the height of the tallest wall, measured from the back of the lower wall to the face of the higher wall. So if you have 2 8-foot walls that are terraced, you have to have a 4-foot separation. So that's what that's saying. So, as far as the variance application goes, Utah State Code Section 10-9A-702, attached to this report, lines out 5 criteria that allows an appeal authority to grant a variance, but all 5 criteria have to be met in order to do that. So, I am going to go through each criteria and tell you how the city perceives it, and whether or not we feel that they meet the criteria. So the first is literal enforcement of the ordinance would cause an unreasonable hardship for the applicant that is not necessary to carry out the general purpose of the land use ordinances. So further, to identify what an unreasonable hardship is, we look to the Utah Municipal Code, which has clarified the term unreasonable hardship as one is located on or associated with a property for which the variance is sought, and B comes from circumstances peculiar to the property, not from conditions that are general to the neighborhood. So, and three. this is two. In determining whether or not enforcement of the land use ordinance would cause unreasonable hardship under Section 2A, the appeal authority may not find an unreasonable hardship if the hardship is self-imposed or economic. So the first item is basically that the applicant's circumstances are occurring on the property that this variance is sought, which that is happening. And then typically with variance requests, unique circumstances have to be identified relating to natural physical features such as water, wetlands, rock outcropping, soil conditions, and steep slopes, which this property definitely does have. And basically, the characteristics must prevent the owner of the property from enjoying the property in the same, or the property right, in the same fashion that other owners in the neighborhood or local zoning districts use their property. So the city has found that the property has topographic conditions and land use circumstances that are peculiar to the property and not from conditions that are general to the neighborhood. The slope does not support the multifamily and retail land uses as is without the construction of the retaining walls that are taller than the minimum required height and terraced in a fashion that is not complementary to the city code. And then the shape of the property has been influenced by the development of Highway 89 and 215, which you can see on the map before you. And it constrains the property into the irregular shape, which doesn't help the slope we're working with. So that's the first criteria. To sum that up, the city believes that they meet the hardship requirement and all others that come with that criteria. So the second criteria is that there are special circumstances attached to the property that do not generally apply to other properties in the same zone. So this is doubled. The planned district zone that this is a part of is a negotiated zone. And so it allows more of a diverse development. The focus is to allow for more of a multifamily, and if the property allows it, some commercial. As you can see across the street from this property, there is a P district. It is being used as multifamily and office space, and they don't have the same topographic conditions, so they've been able to really enjoy that property and use it as it's meant to be used for the zone. So, if the variance is not approved, the property will not be provided the same privileges to develop and be used as the other properties within the P District zone. That allows flexibility with residential density and mixed uses. That was the city's findings. The third criteria is granting the variance is essential to the enjoyment of the substantial property right possessed by other properties in the same zone. So some of these are a bit repetitive, but the special circumstances on this property include the slope, and none of the other properties that are zoned as a P district have the same issue with being able to put the multifamily and get the best use out of the property. So, number four is the variance will not substantially affect the general plan and will not be contrary to the public interest. The proposed variance to the retaining wall and terracing will not affect the general plan, and it will not be contrary to the public interest. The DRC has found that, or is in support of approving the variance application because it will allow the property to be developed in a way that is more complementary to the general plan, including housing and active transportation opportunity with multifamily housing and trail connections. So it will actually improve the area and complement the neighboring properties and what the general plan is for that area, which has an emphasis on increasing housing and transportation. So we found that the retail and housing opportunity offered by this development will make for a more vibrant and diverse community, which will be a benefit to the general public. And the approval of the variance will have no negative impacts on abutting property owners to the west, which is UDOT, and to the north, because they are providing a trail connection to the northern property, which has multifamily on it right now. And so the fifth and final criteria is that the spirit of the land use ordinance is to protect, or sorry, the spirit of the land use ordinance is observed and just substantial justice is done. So the DRC has found that the spirit of the land use ordinance is to protect all members of the public equally, and substantial justice in this case means that all property owners should be able to rely on the proper application of laws that protect their property rights as well as applicants, and that the interest of the city at large is protected in maintaining the appearance of property values of the existing neighborhoods. The DRC has determined that the variance follows the spirit of the land use ordinance while allowing equal property rights to be shared by the subject property and others in the city. And then in conclusion of all five of these criteria, the DRC and city staff are in favor of approving the variance request to allow for an increase in retaining wall height and a reduction in the required terrace width at 256 South Highway 89, and the city engineer has been involved with this and finds that the increase in height is not going to make the retaining walls less safe. Same goes for the terracing. It seems to be more of an aesthetic thing for our code, because if the retaining walls are engineered correctly, which these are and will be, they shouldn't have any problems as far as safety is concerned. So the engineer will stay involved with this, and we'll make sure that when, if and when the retaining wall permits come through, the building official will check them for safety, and so will the city engineer. So before we turn over to the applicant, I just wanted to show you what we're looking at on their plan, which was submitted with the application. So the way that we've read it from what they have submitted is that the retaining wall will basically loop around the entire property, starting at a really small height of 0.06 feet and then gradually increasing on the north side. The highest point of the north retaining wall is 13.36 feet and then it slopes back down. This wall is a single wall, it is not terraced. Then on the other side of the property, on the west side, the wall does the same thing. Its highest point, it's on the next page, I believe, or the next one. So its highest point is going to be 9.69 feet. This wall is terraced, and it's terraced in a fashion that each retaining wall at the tallest point is taller than our 8-foot minimum requirement. And their terracing, I'll zoom in so we can actually see what this says,
is about three and a half feet. For this particular image, you'll have two walls,
yep.
One at 9.69 feet,
yep.
A space less than one half of that, and another wall at 9.5 feet. So they're about a foot and a half over the limitation in the code.
Yes, you understand that correctly.
And that's the highest wall?
That's not the highest. That's the highest point of the terrace walls that have the two that are separated by the 3.5, almost 4 feet in a place. The tallest wall, from my findings, which I welcome them to criticize because I'm not an engineer, is going to be 13 feet and it is on the north wall, 13.36. So, and like I said before, the required maximum wall height for a single wall is 8 feet in our code.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay. The applicant, would you like to support your application?
Yes, please. I do not have much to add. Mackenzie was extremely thorough, and it was a great staff report. A few things that I just wanted to point out was that much of the grading of the site was dictated by the access off Highway 89 and meeting those grades. So that's a big factor in why we've had to fill the site so substantially. Another factor was presence on the street. That was important to the city, and making sure that our buildings did have a strong presence on the street was something that also increased some of the grade.
So when you say presence on the street, in other words, it was essentially the grade of Highway 89 as opposed to substantially lower?
Yep, exactly. And then we did try and mitigate some of the retaining with the building itself through we have podium parking structure that's built into the topography, and that was another way that we tried to work with the land. So those were the only points that I just wanted to mention, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Usually the city, when the city makes a recommendation, it's not uncommon to follow that recommendation because they have an expertise in the area. I did pause on one aspect of your application. Particularly the statute. The statute requires, and it's quite specific in what has to be and what cannot be, unreasonable hardship. I don't have a problem with anything up until this particular requirement. It says the appeal authority may not find an unreasonable hardship if the hardship is self-imposed or economic. The way it's been presented, and I think you sustain that, is that the grade is the substantial slope, the grade of the property, is the hardship that's being complained of.
Absolutely.
And certainly that's not self-imposed, but my question is what's your response to the question of whether or not the hardship is economic? Because you can certainly build something that would be a lesser density if you complied with the retaining wall requirements.
We're also one factor, and I'm not the expert in the construction of the development. Russell is a bit more so than I am, but in order to connect to some of the utilities, that's also a factor. The developability of the site is significantly reduced if you can't raise that grade. So I wouldn't say that it's economic. I would say that the feasibility of developing the site is the factor. It wouldn't be possible, potentially. It would be much more difficult.
And if I could add a little bit to that, because of the change in grade from the Highway 89 side down to the freeway, when you come off of the highway, you have a certain level of slope that you can't exceed for a certain distance past the intersection, and then they can't exceed
it. Is that dictated by UDOT or what?
No, it's dictated by our standards. So you can't, it's like 50 feet back from the first 50 feet have to be less than 5%, and then the maximum slope can't be more than 10%. So if they had to move the building closer, then the driveway that's coming down into all the buildings wouldn't be able to be, would have to be at a steeper grade, and that would violate that part of our code. So the reason that we have the height limitations in the code primarily deals with safety, and the number one issue with those walls being safe is when they're rockery walls, because rockery walls are harder to engineer. So the fact that this wall will not be a rockery wall, if they were to separate them and move them back, they could do rockery walls, but this one will be engineered block. And so that takes care of what our concern is for safety from the city's perspective. So the ordinance was partially aesthetics and partially safety, because rockery walls need that separation, but we had to define all, we're treating them all the same. And then the compensation for that is to put in engineered walls with the geogrid that comes back into the property. So if you move those buildings to get the retaining walls to meet the ordinance, then we've squeezed both the parking and the main driveway into the property.
And you couldn't comply with the...
We wouldn't be able to comply with the other slope requirements.
The required lack of slope coming off of Highway 89.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Any other comments? Okay. Given that it's unopposed and given the city's clarification with regard to that requirement, I would approve the variance request. I would ask that when you draft the order, that you're very specific with regard to what the request is and what is being approved, and that specifically according to the plans that they have as they have been presented. Maximum height on the north end and the maximum height of the two walls on the west side, so that the, while you don't necessarily need to amend your application, I want the order to reflect exactly what we have approved, not a carte blanche to do anything that the city engineer says is okay.
So,
did you follow me?
Yeah, to clarify, just to make sure I'm following, you want us to actually state the maximum wall height will be 13 feet tall.
Well, I understand their application to be what the...
submitted.
Yeah, what the... what your review committee approved. I don't have the minutes for that. And you, apparently you referenced that there were city council minutes approving the application, the building application. Is that correct, the building permit?
Not the building permit. They approved the all the plans, site plan. Yeah.
So it was a general approval of a site plan?
Yeah.
Okay. I would ask that be put in the record.
Okay.
And then that I understand the application to be tied to this particular engineering diagram, so that is the what is approved with regard to the variance for the code, and not just carte blanche. They can do anything in violation of those particular height restrictions on walls, but they're limited to what has been presented in this plan, and then it's subject to the engineer's approval. All right, are we clear?
Yes.
Okay, unless you have anything else, or is there anybody else who would like to say anything, we can close this matter. Thank you.